Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
I'm for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's Sunday morning, which means it's time for football, baby. We're going to be talking 49ers football. I have way too much time on my hands. I wanted to take some time off, just struggling a little bit just with the everyday whatever we get to this mode. Not that I don't have a lot I want to talk about. That's kind of my problem, is that I have way too much stuff cram-packed into all of these shows. My show notes, it might be a little bit of a long show. I probably should break it up into two or three, but that's okay. So here's what we're going to do. We have Brock Purdy's cap numbers. I want to go through that, what that means, what the deal means, where the restructures are, where the outs are, all that kind of stuff. But the meat of today's episode is I want to go over 49ers depth chart, but not inclusively. I just want to look at two categories. I broke the roster down into two things: the deepest positions and then the least depth positions on the roster post-free agency, post the draft, where they stand currently. So I have four deep positions and three kind of rough. These are major areas to watch, which concern me a little bit. So again, balancing the positive and the negative. And then it's offseason time. And if there is anything that signifies it is officially offseason, we're doing our best ever wear series. We're picking that back up. We finished 1 through 40. We do about 20 of these in offseason. So we're picking up where we left off. Last year, we left off with the best 49ers player to ever wear jersey number 40. So we're picking up at 41, which was a lot of fun. I spent, 2.5 hours this morning digging through 49ers nostalgia and amazing players that have worn jersey number 41, which it seems like it's turned into a little bit of a transitional number for the undrafted free agents. That's okay. A lot of good ones. But the sad thing is the best players didn't wear 41 when they were at their best. They like to change. But that's what we'll get to at the end of the episode, which I'm super excited about. And again, do want to say a little bit of a scheduling announcement. We have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting this Tuesday. We do it once a month. And if you don't know about this, it's probably the best hour to hour and a half of the month. It's incredible. We get together on Zoom and we just talk 49ers. This is my time to hear from you. And if you want to join us, guess what? Head over to the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel. The links are in the description of this video/podcast. We got a 7-day free trial. And right now is kind of the best time to do it because we have video breakdowns on the entire rookie class. We're still building on that. But you can go watch those. You can sign up. The details have already been posted. And again, if you want to come and make your presence felt, cool. If you want to turn your camera off and just listen and watch, that's cool too. But it's a great time to build the community. Crazy positive, amazing people, amazing friends. We've been doing this for a while now. I think this is our I think we're getting up to number 70 Zoom hangout. Again, once a month. We've been doing this for a little while. So it's kind of fun. Thank you for all the hashtag CCs. This is episode 1,421. And our executive producers make it all happen. David Gill, 49ers George, 365, and Corey Robbins. Ooh, I like all these CCs. I love it. It's Sunday, man. And I want to talk football. I really, really hope that... hope this offseason goes quick. That's all I got to say. Dr. Steve says, wonder where you were, John. Thanks for not letting us down. Yeah, you know, we back off the content just a little bit from the every single day during the season to, I don't know, about 3 to 4 to 5 shows a week. And so a lot of people are on vacation. Saturday, Larry Kruger was on vacation, which I didn't know. That dude took breaks because he worked so freaking hard. But yeah, so we're still going to be bringing you content. We're starting our 90-man roster countdown series as well, which that takes a lot of work setting up. And so even though we're not getting shows out on the daily, does not mean we are not working. Oh, look at Dr. Steve Brill. That's right. Terry Kirby, baby. We're going to be talking about him 100%. What's up, Sean? Sweet. Love the Zoom hangouts. Again, that's Tuesday, 5:30 Pacific time this Tuesday. So come join us. Those details have already been posted, the Zoom link and all that stuff. And it's a new Zoom link, so it's not the old one. So for those of you, all you got to do is go into Patreon or the 49ers Rush. You'll see it. Click that Zoom link. You are good to go. Dan, what's up, man? Listening with my daughters here in Virginia as we get ready for Big Brother's high school graduation party. Man, congratulations to the Case family. And congratulations. I know Dan's a teacher. Thank you for all you do. And I think you teach middle school, if my memory serves me correctly, but setting that foundation for those kids to move on. I love it. Happy congratulations to Little Case or Big Brother's high school graduation. I love it. You guys are great. Celebrating like a family. Can't wait to see you guys. We're going to be hanging out this year. Love it, love it, love it. So let's dive into some financial numbers. Brock Purdy's salary cap details are out. And, you know, I'm not the biggest on guarantees, total guarantees. I want cap, right? I want every single player to get as much money as possible while balancing the salary cap tafu. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people say the cap's not real. I would completely disagree with that. But you can finesse it and finagle it. Anybody that says the salary cap's not real, just look at the Saints roster. They are probably the most egregious, and it could cripple a franchise. And to the point now where the Saints are going to be picking top five for a long time. That Derek Carr contract was hilarious. It's still kind of funny what's going on there. But anyway, Brock Purdy's salary cap numbers. And again, to all the people that kept saying, like, well, we got to cut all these guys so we can, you know, fit Brock Purdy under the cap. I kept screaming. I was like, Brock Purdy's cap number is still going to be low. His 2025 salary cap number this season is $9 million. $9 million. It's nothing. And so, like, it had nothing to do with salary cap space. It's just not what it is. It had to do with cash. And the deal didn't get announced until Jed York had to sell part of the franchise, 6%, to get the cash to make these things happen. And that's fine. However, he has to do what he has to do. That doesn't affect us. But, like, it's not a salary cap issue. It never was a salary cap issue. Very important you understand. Like, how many – Javon Hargrave has the same cap hit this year. He's not even playing for us as Brock Purdy does. I think it's off by, like, $100,000. But, like, that's not the issue. Eter Gross Mottos, bigger salary cap. Ayuk, Kittle, Bosa, Trent, Fred Warner. Like, Christian McCaffrey's right there. Like, it's not a big salary cap. $9 million cap hit. That's it. Not a big deal. So for everybody's like, oh, we got to do these so we can stay under the cap. Not for this year. And then next year, 2026 season, Brock Purdy's cap hit is $24 million. Still not insane. Definitely manageable. Year three, $30.8 million. Okay, now we're talking. But whenever you're looking about a contract that averages, again, if you go by the agent's number, then it averages $53 million per year. But if you go by the extension with this year, 2025, which was already under contract, it's $45 million. Shout out to Crocker for putting that one out there. We talked about it briefly, but I believe he talked about it before we did. A bunch of people shared that. I always want to give credit. Love Croc. He's awesome. Now, after year three, so it goes 9 million, 24, 30.8 million. That's year one, year two, year three. This is where you get into the restructure zone, year three. But I still don't even think that's the time to do it. I think it would be after year four. The 2028 salary cap hit is 57.6 million. That's where it gets big. 2029, 72.5. And then 2030, the last year, 64.5 with an $11 million void cap hit in 2031. And I know those numbers sound astronomical, but whenever you look at just the salary cap hits right now for different positions, nowhere is this going to be, how do I say this? Nowhere is this going to be like, oh my gosh, Brock Purdy's a top three paid quarterback. It's not going to happen. It's just not, because by the time that the salary cap's about to explode, and I've talked about this for years, this was the year to get all these extensions done. And I'm very thankful to Jed in the front office for doing it this year, because this is the last COVID cap hit year. It's about to blow up. And this deal already, by the time, again, you've got 3 years with very friendly cap hits, 9, 24, 30.8 million. By the time we're in 2028, I don't think 57 million is going to be astronomical whenever you're just talking about, again, just the cap hits, right? That's the thing that's huge. So if we look at just salary cap hits right now, again, Brock Purdy's 9 million this year. Dak Prescott, $50 million. Stafford, $47 million. Burrow, $45 million. Lamar, $43 million. Kyler Murray, $43 million. Geno, $40 million. Kirk Cousins, $40 million. You're not even playing. Tua, $39 million. Herbert, $37 million. Now, this is the first year of the Brock deal, right? But you're not hitting those numbers, $30 million, in 2027, which that would be... If that cap hit right now, you would be tied with Jordan Love for the 13th largest quarterback cap hit. But you have 3 years to get to that point. Very friendly deal. And so, like, for the people who are like, oh, well, how are you going to have the competition and the quality around him if the salary cap hit comes later? He's not going to have as much talent. I understand that just from an Aristotelian logic standpoint, right? Well, if he's has this roster at 9 million, how can he have it at 30 million? I get that. But the way that it's built, again, you have Brandon Ayuk and you have Ricky Pearsall and you have George Kittle under contract for the next 4 years. So that's already into the figure. So once you get to that 2028 season, that $57 million cap hit, well, guess what? You still have Pearsall on that fifth-year option. You still have Ayuk under that extension. You still have Kittle. Now, Trent will be gone. CMC probably going to be gone. But you have time to get that under wraps and to get that fixed. But again, you look at just where that salary cap hits. That 2020, I want to go to 2028. I want to see what the other cap hits are. Okay, look at this. Shout out to Spotrac. They've already got it built in. The year 2028, when Brock Purdy's $57 million cap hit, it's still not top seven right now. In 2028, Dak Prescott has a $78 million cap hit. Jordan Love, $74 million cap hit. Herbert, $71 million. Tua, $65 million. Oh, that dude ain't playing that long. Jared Goff, $61 million. Josh Allen, $59 million. Brock Purdy, $57 million. So it's already the seventh largest 4 years from now, and more quarterbacks are going to get paid. You're going to have CJ Stroud getting his. You're going to, man, all these rookies that just had their year last year, right? You're talking Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Those guys are going to be entering new contracts. Man, I'm just telling you, this is a very, very, very friendly deal. And I'm very happy. I wanted it to be longer. I wanted it to be longer, but I'm very thankful. There's restructures built in. Probably after year four, if Brock Purdy plays the way that he has been playing, that is where you could enter into a new deal, push that, you know, $72 and $64 million cap hit back. And there's only one void year with $11 million in 2031. So the price of restructures, you're not behind the eight ball like what you did with the Debo deal, but Debo is never going to be that. It's a very team-friendly deal for 4 years. And then there's a restructure-friendly deal. Remember, Brock Purdy's only going to be 31. 31 whenever this contract expires. And you look at where quarterbacks are playing now, man, I would love for this not to be the final contract to Brock Purdy, if I'm going to be very honest. So I truly do believe very friendly deal. I love that Brock got paid. I think that's awesome. I love that there's a no trade clause in there for Brock Purdy's sake. I thought that was pretty savvy. Took a little bit less money to get that. First time the 49ers have ever given that out. So excited about that. Excited about that. Let's check in on the chat. Eric, appreciate you, man. Hey, John, appreciate you. Hope all's well. My son and I can't wait for the faithful to come to New Jersey. That's right, man. We've got, golly, we are going to be partying like crazy this year. Here is the onset of all of our road trip parties. We got eight planned. So had three meetings this weekend, just solidifying all the venues and all that stuff. Those are going to be updated on the site, especially for our first two big ones, which we have Seattle week one, New Orleans week two. Man, we've got some big stuff planned, and I'm excited. Now, if you have never been to a 49ers Rush road trip event, what's come on, guys. Y'all got to come out.
49ers Rush road trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Love it, love it. And man, we got more graduates. Shout out to everybody. Chris Alt says, what's up? Been a long time. Number four graduates this week. Go Niners. I freaking love that, man. I love that. Mike says, it is so irritating hearing that with dead cap hits, there are a lot of dead cap hits. It's the way the 49ers do business. And the whole idea is everybody's projected the salary cap to go up and the 49ers roll over. Again, crazy that I didn't mention this, but the 49ers have the second most cap space in the NFL for this year, $40 million. That's after the Purdy contract. George Kittle saved an additional $7 million on his extension this year. Fred Warner details aren't out yet, but his salary cap is expected to go down even more this year. So you roll forward that $40 million. Do not expect the 49ers to spend much more money outside of just depth players, which is what we're going to talk about next. What's up, Ben? Appreciate you, man. And Dr. Steve, by then the cap will be so much higher. It's going to explode. It's going to explode. What's up, GM? Salary cap goes up every year by year. No signs of it slowing down. This year will be exponential growth because 2025 is the last COVID cap affected salary cap. Next year, there's none. So the 2025 is still being deducted by about $15 million because of the COVID cap year hit, which they spread out over multiple years. That ends this year. So 2026 is going to explode by itself. Plus, you've got all those Paramount, Netflix, whatever, deals where Amazon, new contract years for the TV, which is that affects everything the most. That's going to jump up huge. Jam says, Cali taxes practically cuts the pay in half. Not so much. You pay taxes on where you play, not so much where you reside. So, yeah, obviously you play eight home games in Cali. That is true. It does affect it, but not to the point where I think a lot of people, anyway, I don't want to go down that one, but yeah, Cali taxes definitely higher on income. But again, I pay way less taxes on my house in Cali than I do my house in Texas, which is crazy. They're going to get their money. They always get their money. So depending on where you go. Right here, bid. Assuming he's the guy for the duration of his career, which I do, talking Brock Purdy, then the Niners will keep doing restructures to constantly utilize the five-year max probation period. He's talking about when you do a signing extension, you could spread that signing bonus out over 5 years, right? So if you sign, let's just say a $30 million signing bonus, you divide that by five, you spread that out over a five-year period, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, right? That helps you, and the 49ers have been very notorious for doing those. Oh, look at that, Eric, liking the hat. Shout out to Coach Cruz. The legend got me this hat. It's a black SF hat, but it's got the Union Jack, the golden red, kind of painted over the SF, which I freaking like. Anyway. Oh, what's up, Don Burr in the house? Appreciate you, man. Glad to see you here. Anyway, yeah, I like this contract a lot. And yeah, the schedule, 49ers finished in fourth place. 49ers get a fourth place schedule, a place the 49ers haven't been in a long time. And yeah, it is an easy, easy schedule. It's the easiest period in the NFL. They have the least, number 32 strength of schedule, dead last. Love it, love it, love it. Oh, look at this, Tommy. 49ers and MetLife. We'll be there. We've got a really cool party. It's not finalized yet. We've agreed to terms with the facility, but I don't want to put it out there yet until contracts and everything done. But yeah, our New York party, it's going to be a blast. And Dr. Steve Rule, see you in Tampa again, baby. How are you a drink? Oh, I'll take it. I'm excited, man. Mio, what's up, man? We got everybody in the chat. I love this. Ah, nothing but Niners. Good to see Don Burr has been coming out of hiding. Oh, man, Mike always got shots. Everybody go check out Nothing But Niners if you haven't already. The OGs of 49ers content and just such a good friend. Such a big friend, fan and friend of Mike Andrews and kind of what they do over there. Nothing But Niners. Unbelievable show. Love it, love it, love it. He's the man. oh, look, he's Don Burr's back talking trash. I love it. I will. Oh, look at that. They got a little bit of an announcer right here. I'll be there at the Giants game. Ah, this day just keeps getting better. Mike Andrews going to be out for 49ers rush road trip at the Giants game. Woo! Love it, love it. Jason Aponte, I was talking to him. We were texting. He's going to be out. I know he's an East Coaster. He's going to be out there too. That's going to be fun. Oh, look at this. Do we have the link, Tommy? For Nothing But Niners, everybody go click that, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Positive, amazing, great people. Love that show. Love that show. All right, let's dive into the second part of our show. And this is the depth, right? The good and the bad. We're going to start with the positive. Which positions do the 49ers have the most depth in? I have four. And then we're going to go through three that... These are the positions to watch for injuries, and somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to step up. Speaking of stepping up, look at Miho. She says they're going to be in Seattle and New Orleans for the 49ers rush road trip. I love it. I love it. I love it. Man, if you can pick one event, New York's going to be epic. We're spending the most money on New Orleans. I don't know if that means it's going to be the best, but that tailgate, seafood station, right next to the stadium, it's going to be great. Anyway. All right, the deepest positions. Start off with maybe not the best depth, but you got the bodies, and that's offensive guard. It's the only offensive line position that the 49ers draft in. They only draft guards. They haven't drafted one center. They haven't drafted one tackle in three consecutive drafts. Only team in the NFL that could say that. That's not a positive. But they keep drafting guards over and over and over again. Obviously, Dominic Pooney is a mainstay at that position. Amazing rookie year. He's already playing at a Pro Bowl level. Hopefully, he takes a step up. But behind him, you have bodies with experience on experience on experience. Ben Bartsch, projected starter there. He started multiple games for two organizations, still young. Spencer Burford, remember, he was a guy that started the entire rookie season at right guard. where he's going to fit, swing tackle, all that stuff, but you got a body there with experience. Nick Sakel started all the remaining games towards the end of the season, proved a lot of promise there. You drafted Connor Colby. You signed Drew Moss and Zach Johnson, undrafted free agents. Like, you've got bodies. Now, outside of Dominic Pooney, is there anybody that's like, wow, this is a legitimate starter with a high ceiling play? No, you don't have that. But between Bartsch, Burford, Zakel, you have experience. You have people that have been in the system. And then you throw in a Connor Colby, a seventh-round pick. I don't think he's going to play that much this year. But it's nice to have the young flyer with a ridiculous amount of starting experience at college level in the same scheme that could step in. Like, that guard position, you have the bodies. Like, if you told me offensive line had to have an injury, I'd like, be a guard. Not that I don't want anybody to get hurt. But I'm saying the 49ers could sustain an injury or two at the guard position, even if it was a Dominic Pooney. I don't want him to get injured. But part of whenever I'm going through this exercise and I'm looking at the bodies and the numbers and the contracts, it's my philosophy is this. God forbid an injury happens at a position. Where will it cripple the offense or defense, and where could you sustain it? Guard, even if it was Dominic Pooney, you have capable people with experience that could step in and play at those spots. And so guard, I'm just like, hey, you got the bodies. You have the experience, maybe not the elite level, but let's be honest. This is no long. The 2021 and 22 and 23 49ers, nothing like the 2025 49ers. Nothing like it. You used to have depth. You used to have backups. You used to have. You don't have that anymore. When you skip free agency altogether, and you don't add anything, you added number two tight end, and you added some safeties. That's it. You're going to have issues at depth. Period. The 49ers are not a deep roster at all. Now, you're betting on the young bucks all stepping in and excelling. That ain't going to happen. Even if it's a 50% hit rate, congratulations, you're one of the best drafters in the NFL. You have to have that. So guys like Connor Colby, you don't have to count on him because you have Bartsch, Burford, Zakel ahead of him. If he pans out, that's just bonus. That's just bonus. Now, the next position, which again, this kind of falls into the category, it's a depth position, and it wasn't. Defensive tackle. I don't think it's a problem anymore, assuming rookies all pan out. Now, it's a second and a fourth round pick that you're expected to pan out, but Alfred Collins, CJ West, if both of those guys, they don't even have to be home runs. They just have to be singles or doubles, then you're okay. If those guys could play a ridiculous amount of snaps as you're projecting, you're going to be okay. Now, behind him, Jordan Elliott, a lot of experience. He's a boom or bust player every single play. Usually about four bad, one good, but Kyle Shanahan loves him. Evan Anderson, nothing in the pass game, but solid run stuffer. Kevin Givens, all right. You know, he's where he should be because you've got Collins, you've got West, you've got Elliott, you've got Evan Anderson. The fact that Kevin Givens is your five, that's where he should be. Kevin Givens, undrafted free agent, one of the longest tenured 49ers, by the way. He is now, him and Bosa are the only ones around, and I guess Mitch Wisnowski, from that 2019 draft class, now that Drake Greenlaw is gone. But Kevin Givens was an undrafted free agent that year. He's been around. And so, like, that's where he belongs. He's a rotational guy. Then behind that, you even have more depth. Kalia Davis, could he take some steps up? Sebastian Valdez, I really like him. So you have the bodies at least. Now, does that mean that the defensive tackle room is a positive on this roster? I don't think it's there. If Alfred Collins could develop into a pass rusher, we know he could stop the run. And if, you know, the other rookie, CJ West, can also become a penetrating defensive tackle instead of a two gapper like he was at Indiana, then all right. But remember, he hates quarterbacks. I love CJ West. So again, back to this question, if you had an injury at a position, defensive tackle, you've got the bodies. You have the bodies. Let's say you keep five or six, Alfred Collins, C.J. West, Jordan Elliott, Evan Anderson, Kevin Givens, there's five. Kalia Davis, there's your six. Sebastian Valdez, you put him on the practice squad if he clears. Man, you are right. That is a healthy rotation of bodies. But again, you are dependent and assuming not one, but two rookies are going to pan out. I'm pretty confident in both these guys. I was super high. Both Alfred Collins and C.J. West were rush crush draft prospects. Can they stay healthy? They both have all throughout college. Can they stay healthy? I know Alfred Collins had a calf sprain, but man, I like this position. But again, it's based on projection. You have to have not one but two rookies paying out, and I'm okay with that. Look at this, Tommy. I think we've got the best depth at quarterback. Amazing starter. And being real, I wouldn't be worried if old Macaroni Jones has to step in for a game or two. It's better than it was last year. There's no doubt about that. You know, going from the two quarterbacks we had last year who both had to play, Josh Dobbs and, goodness, his name's missing me right now, but he wasn't good. This is going to drive me crazy. I've got to fix this. Oh, come on. Help me with the quarterback that we had last year with the tiny hands. Brandon Allen. Thank you. I'd take McCorkle Jones over both of them. I don't like McCorkle Jones, but yeah, he's not a bad number two. Tanner Mordecai, your quarterback three has gone down, right? Quarterback one stayed the same, Brock Purdy. Quarterback two went up, McCorkle. Quarterback three, Tanner Mordecai was four last year. Now he's three. Curtis Rourke, I don't think, plays this year. So if we're just talking one and two, I agree with you, Tommy. I agree with you there. But outside of that, I don't know.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Logan, right here. Watch out for Sebastian Valdez. I love it. Oh, what's up, Captain? Appreciate you, man. I think Sebastian Valdez can make this roster. I would be very happy if that's the case. He's going to push out at Kalia Davis or Kevin Givens, but hey, that's okay. That's okay. No issues whatsoever there. Right here, I disagree with this. I'm going off notes now, but when Ben talks, I listen. He says, we're in good shape at defensive end, too. I have defensive end on one of my least depth positions. Again, the whole idea, if you have an injury, I think you're screwed. Okay, so now this is a bad. So we're bouncing around now. Whatever, I don't care. We get off script. That's a fun thing. But again, when Ben talks, I listen. Here's the projected starters, Nick Bosa and Mykal Williams. Okay, awesome. Then you have Etur Gross-Matos and Sam Oh as your two backups. After that, I don't know if you could trust any of these guys. Robert Beale Jr. is good against the run. A lot of positive tape last year. Zero pass rush production to this part of his career. Why could, you know, can he take a jump and become a decent pass rusher? I don't know. The coaching staff's not changing. He's not, I don't know. Jonathan Garvin, Teron Jackson. If you had an injury at a position on defense, defensive end scares the living daylights out of me. I do not want Etur Gross-Matos starting. I'd rather have Sam Oh, to be honest with you. I think he's more consistent. But like if Bosa or Mykal Williams gets injured, I think that this position is awful. Now, I still think and hope that if they signed any position, I would hope that they signed a defensive end, or I don't want to say the other position. I want to give that one away. But defensive end is a major need. Roy's place. Mikhail needs to be rotated first-year player. I see us picking up a defensive end. I hope you're right. I like Mikhail Williams. That was my projection for the pick. But, you are so top-heavy with no depth. Etern Gross-Matos is a decent three. Sam Oh is a decent four. But both of them are so limited. Sam Oh's not a great pass rusher. He can bull rush, but can he develop into something else? I don't know. Right here, Roy's place. Mikhail Williams will be winded in a long season. It's a marathon for rooks. The one thing I will say is Georgia has been involved in all the SEC championship games and playoffs. So, college, a little bit different than NFL, but I do like the fact that he has been in contention in meaningful games, SEC championship games, playoff games, all that stuff. So I do like that. But yeah, I don't care who you are. All rookies, it's hard. All rookies, it's hard. Tommy, what if Gross-Matos just starts the Bears game? I'm cool with that. I do like Etern Gross-Matos. Consistency was a major issue. Conditioning was a major issue. Health was a major issue last year in his only year with us. Can he take strides? That's a big question. Unstoppable. John, are you going to the Las Vegas preseason game? I want to. And I am in contract talks with setting up a tailgate. I don't think if I go, I'm hosting an event. I want my friends to party with me. So I'm working on setting up a tailgate for that preseason Vegas game. If I can get that into wraps and the right numbers, then yes, I will be there. I haven't asked the wife yet. I got pissed. She's not even here. I got to get the wife's permission, one, and then I've got to finalize the tailgate for the Vegas pregame. I will let you guys know that because that is something that I would like to do. Obviously, I love Vegas, and I love that stadium. It's one of my top five stadiums in the NFL. Wait and see. So I'm trying to plan something, but we would not do a day before event. We would just do, awesome tailgate, which the spot's awesome. I just got to make the numbers work. I don't mind throwing parties if I don't make money. I am trying my hardest to get out of the habit of throwing parties where I lose money. If I don't make money, I'm okay with it, because I just love it. But it's pretty hard to go and book flights and hotels for me and, you know, some of my team and work my rear end off all weekend and then come back and say, man, we lost money. That happens. And so I'm trying to get out of that practice. But anyway, stay tuned. I would like to be there. I freaking can't wait to meet you either, Roy. I love it. Now let's get back to the positive. Deepest positions. I got two more. Linebacker. I love the additions. Now, obviously, Fred Warner, the best linebacker in sports, the best coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL, future Hall of Famer, my main man, Fred. I love Fred right here. I got to start showing this picture more because it makes me happy. That's me interviewing Fred in Vegas. Talk about love in Vegas. Love Fred. He makes everybody else better. Now you're number two, however you want to go with this. Oh, what's up, JP? My man. Appreciate you, buddy. Nick Martin. Yeah, that seems to be the 49ers, like, handpicked. They love this guy. Plus D Winners. If you want to put D Winners 2 and Nick Martin 3, cool. I don't care. Like, that is a solid three linebackers to move into the season. And remember, under Robert Saleh, he started Fred Warner as a rookie. He has started Dre Greenlaw as a rookie. He has worked in Azeez Al-Shaair as a rookie. Jamie and Sherwood as a rookie. Like, the track record for linebackers, and this is part of the Saleh scheme that I love, is it's simplistic. Not for Mike, but for your Will and Sam it is. It's simplistic. Rookies can play right off the bat. So it's built for Nick Martin to come in and start playing. So that is huge. But then behind that, the 49ers love Curtis Rourke. He's coming off an injury. I understand that. Tatum Bethune, amazing versus the run. Major issues on special teams and in the pass game. And that's not a Robert Saleh guy, but it is a Johnny Holland guy. Jalen Graham, undrafted free agent. He's been around. Luke Gifford, who you paid $2 million to fully guaranteed. That matters. The only undrafted free agent that you gave any guaranteed money, Stone Blanton, who we had on the show. Dude, I like him. Deshaun White. Like, there are bodies. This linebacking group, I wouldn't say I'd take all of them, but I would take Warner, Martin, Winters, Curtis Robinson, Bethune, Jalen Graham, Luke Gifford, all over DFF. And DFF started games for us last year. Like, the depth is there. Now, does it mean everybody's going to step up? But, like, you have a backup Mike in Curtis Robinson and Jalen Graham. You have a backup Will in Tatum Bethune and Luke Gifford. And then you have some young prospect players. Stone Blanton, I'm telling you, I love Stone Blanton. His interview was awesome. His family seems incredible. Just got married, too. This dude's, he's on a roll. So they like this guy. I love the depth at linebacker. I like Tommy. I love DFF equals definitely finally finished. Oh, I love you, Tommy. You're great, man. But yeah, linebacker, even if you had an injury there, God forbid, I'm not too concerned about it, to be honest with you. And, you know, Fred Warner's missed one game in his career. Dude broke his ankle last year. Didn't miss any time. Still kept playing. But, like, you have backup Mikes with experience in Curtis Robinson, in Jalen Graham, in Luke Gifford. Like, you have guys that could step in and play that spot. Obviously, you don't want Fred Warner going down, but there's guys that have been in the system that know the system that could step in and handle that. Curtis Robinson would probably be the guy if he's fully healthy. And then my last position of depth, safety. The one position that you went above and beyond in free agency, and we didn't know. We're just like, what are they doing? Well, we didn't know. Malik Mustafa was injured. And again, you can trust the 49ers on a lot of things, never injuries. They will lie through their teeth. And there will always be a phantom injury to a back-end roster player that's just going to sadly go on an NFI or PUP and just get rolled over till next year. It just happens every single year. But when Malik comes back, obviously he's the alpha. Jair Brown's going to be starting. Jason Pinnock getting paid a lot of money. I expect him to start as well. Marquis Siegel, I love. Yeah, my long-term hope is that Malik Mustafa and Marquis Siegel are your starting safeties. That's who I want eventually. Now, maybe Jair Brown goes back to, you know, playing like he did his rookie pre-Nick Sorensen, worst defensive coordinator in 49ers history. But then even behind there, you have a lot of depth. Richie Grant has played a lot in the NFL. So experience at that safety position, he could step in and play. And I know he's long in the tooth, but that's a 4-4 safety guy. He might have lost a step, but at worst 4-5. Like, he's got the speed to play either safety spot. Jalen Mahoney, I am super high on. I know that he doesn't have the physical traits, but I love his instincts. I love his trigger. He stepped in and played great till he broke his arm. They're high on Jalen Mahoney. And George Odom, like, can't forget about him. He was the starter to go into the year. Now, that didn't go well. But, like, dude, George Odom was a player in training camp. Like, he looked good all training camp and preseason. Stepped into the regular season. They got rid of him quick after, right after that week two loss, Justin Jefferson. But why you put two safeties on Justin Jefferson? Nick Sorensen, you're an idiot. Anyway. I regress. That's two Nick Sorensen stones throw. You got to do what you got to do sometimes. it's just what it is. Now, man, support local, ladies and gentlemen. You want to support local business? You want to do what's right for the environment? Go to themattressguyco.com. Locally owned business, diehard Niner fan that supports the show, supports the 49ers Rush Road Trips. He is a legend. So if you have a mattress you want to get rid of, you just go to themattressguyco.com, set an appointment. They come pick it up. Easy peasy. Support. I mean, it's just, it's a win-win-win. Go to themattressguyco.com, support local business, and do what's right for the environment. I love it. It's a win. All right. Look at this. Right here. Siegel will be ready and waiting. I'm a big fan of this kid. I really, really am. And Logan, I know Niner fans are out on Jair Brown, but remember Nick Sorensen made everyone on that defense look bad outside of Lenore. Yeah, and again, Lenore, he was Demo's position coach, then become defensive coordinator. And so the only player that improved lost Nick Sorensen as a position coach. The only player. Yeah, it was bad. It was really, really bad. Luke, I think the safety room under Saleh with these players will be fine. Not concerned about it, even with Malik out. Now, the speed is dramatically improved. Like, you got a lot faster. Marquis Siegel faster, Jason Pinnick faster, Richie Grant faster. Like, you added a lot of speed and experience. Not in Siegel, but even Siegel played a lot. And, you know, he's a coverage guy. He played nickel mostly, but I want to see him at safety. Odom was signed to be a special teams ace, and that's what he is. But I don't mind him at the depth. You know what I mean? Like, I would not put George Odom in my ones or twos. Last year, he was the starting safety because you had Talanoa Hufanga hurt. So, like, George Odom took every single first-team snap all training camp, every single one of them, all training camp. So now you're putting him at two or three. My starters would be Jair Brown and Jason Pinnick, and then I would have Marquis Siegel and Richie Grant with my twos, and Jalen Mahoney and George Odom with my threes. That's how I would do the depth chart order in rotation. But I like having Odom on the team. And if they were going to release Odom, it would have been before his April 1st. I thought when they signed all those safeties, they were going to release Odom, but we didn't know Malik Mustafa was injured. So now that makes more sense. So, yeah, special teams guy, but depth piece as well. I'm totally cool with it. If Brown is your third safety, you have a great group, and that's where he should be. Eventually, I would like Malik to be the dime guy coming in and special teams player. Yes, I agree there. So those are my four deepest position groups: guard, defensive tackle, linebacker, safety. Now, least depth, we already talked edge, and there's some disagreement there. That's okay. I think edge is very weak, and if you had an injury to really top four guys, that's trouble. I don't like that. I don't like that. Now, wide receiver position, especially early. Now, with Ayuk out early, DeMarcus Robinson suspended early, you have two wide receivers. You have Juwan Jennings, and you have Ricky Pearsall. Outside of that, all projection. Jacob Cowing, dude, could not see the field last year. Now, I love the workouts. I love that he's put his body looks like he's added some strong muscle weight. Not bad weight either. Trent Taylor, like, come on, man. Russell Gage, Isaiah Hodgins, I'd prefer those two over Trent Taylor. But, man, you know, Kyle Shanahan can't quit Trent Taylor. Just can't. Like, one of those guys has to start. Cowing, Taylor, Gage, Hodgins has to be your number three wide receiver right now. Week one. Week one's no, like, that's a on-the-road division game in Seattle. They have very strong defensive back room. I won't say strong. They're good cover guys. They have one physical dude. The rest of them are not strong at all, but they're good coverage guys. Like, Jacob Cowing, Trent Taylor, Russell Gage, Isaiah Hodgins should not be starting week one in the NFL at this point. But it's all you got. Now, once DeMarcus Robinson comes back from his suspension, however long that is, they think it's going to be three games. Like, cool. But and once Ayuk gets back, now you're cooking. But it, like, that is a bad group. And so George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey pound the over. As soon as those betting props come out week one for receptions and reception yards, bet Kittle CMC over, over, over. It's going to be a lot. So, like, but the wide receiver room, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. I don't know, man. Jacob Cowan will be fine. I hope so. And that's who we all want. Like, he has the ceiling. Russell Gage, experience, you could trust him. Isaiah Hodgins, experience, you could trust him. But, like, yeah, you want it to be Jacob Cowing. You need it to be Jacob Cowing. But, like, dude couldn't see the field, right? And what Kyle Shanahan say about him? Like, oh, he's got to earn playing time. He's got to know where to line up. He had the penalties. He's got to block harder. You got to do all those things. So, I do not include wide receivers drafted in the fourth round should be getting playing time. They should be, but like, I'm sorry if we're going off Jordan Watkins or Jacob Cowan. I know I didn't even put Jordan Watkins in this conversation. I don't think there's a chance he could start, but I hope I'm wrong. Man, how cool would it be if Jordan Watkins goes out there and wins that job? Maybe he's, and again, Jordan Robinson was not in my 300-plus players I graded. I had an undrafted grade on him to be kind. But man, what if he come out and won that job? That'd be best case scenario. I love being wrong whenever I am low on a player. That is a good thing, not a bad thing. And I know a lot of people want to buy into their takes and whatever else, but man, I remember we drafted Cameron Latu and I was like, that's the dumbest pick ever. Then we drafted a kicker after that. And I was like, never mind, there it is. But I was like, this player is not going to make the roster. And he, excuse me, he had one of those fake injuries. They kept him around for a year and just didn't get better. It just didn't work. I would have loved to have been wrong on Jake Moody. I would have loved to have been wrong on Cam Latu. I really hope I'm wrong on Jordan Watkins. Really, really do. Now, Tariq Owens, yeah, he's in there as well. I mean, maybe he wins that spot. Somebody got to. Somebody's got to. But that's rough. I want it to be Jacob Cowing. If it wasn't Jacob Cowing, I'd want it to be Jordan Watkins. And then after that, it's the old cats or Tariq Owens. Like, that wide receiver room is rough. Yeah, I'm just going to be very, very honest. And it's only early. That's the caveat. Like, if you're the 49ers, you're sitting here saying, well, it's 3 weeks till we get DeMarcus Robinson back. He'll start for us. That's a quality wide receiver. Dude, DeMarcus Robinson stole Cooper Kupp's job in the playoffs. In the playoffs. He had more reception yards, targets, and snaps than Cooper Kupp did the last, like, four or five games of the Rams last year, and they were all meaningful games. They were fighting for a playoff spot, got into playoffs, did some work, and shout out to Don Burr, took care of Detroit and all that stuff. But like, it's a big, did they beat Detroit? Who beat Detroit last year in the playoffs? I might be wrong on that. And if I am, that's not even quality trash talk. I apologize. Oh no, they got beat by the Commanders. Never mind. Sorry, Don Burr. You guys did not get beat by the Rams. Anyway, my last position that I am most concerned about is the cornerback position. Now, the good news is you have a clear three. Diamador Lenore, Renardo Green, and a third-round pick on Upton Stout. Like your projected guys are those guys. There is no competition outside of those three. And if Upton Stout, and again, this is one of the ones where it's like, dude, you are betting a lot on a late third-round rookie. Because who's the next corner? Ciaran Neal? Contract-wise, it'd be Ciaran Neal because you paid him a couple million dollars guaranteed, which isn't a lot for a starting corner. Daryl Luter Jr. has showed nothing. Trey Brown showed a lot, can't stay healthy. The dude's missed almost 40 games in 4 years. Now, I got to give credit to my man Luke right here. John, my dude from BYU needs to make this squad. Jacob Robinson, come on. I love Jacob Robinson. I love Jacob. I had him on the show. It was so cool talking to him, man. He's a good kid. I have Jacob Robinson next up on that list. I think he makes this roster. I think he has a chance. If you're asking me, easiest pathway to making this roster as an undrafted free agent, I think it's Jacob Robinson. I mean, you just got to beat out Daryl Luter Jr., Trey Brown, Ciaran Neal. That's it. Because you got to keep six. Might keep five, but probably keep six. So Daryl Luter, Ciaran Neal, Trey Brown, Jacob Robinson. Then after that, Chase Lucas, Dallas Flowers, Trey Avery, Derek Canteen. Not a lot. I don't like it. I don't like this room. I really, really don't. Now, I love the top. Diamador Lenore and Renardo Green is just like 1-2 punch. Awesome. Can Renardo Green stay healthy? And back to my issue. If an injury happened at the cornerback position, holy freaking cow. Holy freaking cow. You are in dire straits. Maybe you move Marquise Siegel to nickel. You know what I mean? Like that might be in the cards. He played. That's what he played. He's fast enough. He's big enough. He's long. Like, he's tough enough. It's just like, I don't have confidence in Darrell Luter Jr., Ciaran Neal, Trey Brown. I do not have confidence. And if Upton Stout doesn't hit the ground running, that's a big if. And so as we go through these positions, and corner's my last one, it's like, if the depth is not there to be wrong on the rookies. It's not. Now, not saying you have to have a beast starter at every position or anything like that, but it's just like, dude, the 49ers are a couple, like, let's understand. The 49ers injury history is not a good thing. It's as bad as could be. If you do have 2 to 3 injuries, which is going to happen in training camp and preseason, it's going to happen. Man, if it's at corner, edge, wide receiver, whew, it's going to. Now, the good news that I will say is that the 49ers have the cap space to go and plug and play. I do like that. And so, I mean, you've got $40 million cap space just sitting there. So you could go. So, like, if the wide receiver position did get injured, okay, you could go sign a Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Tyler Boyd, DJ Chark. You could do that without even lifting it. You got $40 million cap space. You do whatever the hell you want. You got second most cap space in the NFL. Now, okay, edge rusher. Let's say, God forbid, Bosa, Mikel, or Turk gets hurt. One of those three gets hurt, you're screwed. Now, you do have the money. Von Miller's out there. Preston Smith is out there. Carl Lawson, Matthew Judon. Like, there are guys out there that you could go get. Cornerback. Asante, you got to remove the Asante Samuel thing because that injury, like, he might retire, right? Like, anyway. But there are guys that are out there. Rasul Douglas. Cam Sutton, I think's there. Emmanuel Mosley, like Troy Hill, Eli App, like not great ones. Actually, I'm looking at this. I don't like the corners. But the fact that the 49ers do have all this space, I think that you can band-aid it. It's not what you want to do, but you can band-aid it, right? Jason Verrett, I love it. I love me some Jason Verrett. So here's what I would say when injury news comes out, because it's going to happen, whether training camp, preseason, early in the season. Like, it's 100% injury like game. People get hurt. And if that happens, it needs to be at the guard, defensive tackle, linebacker, safety. If those injuries happen, not that it's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's like everything's all right. If a wide receiver, edge rusher, cornerback goes down, 49ers got to have to sign somebody ASAP. We haven't been in this position. This is a different roster. The depth is nowhere near where it was 3 years ago. It's just not. A lot of that's Trey Lance. A lot of that's bad, horrible contracts. Javon Hargrave, you know, whatever else. Trey Lance trade, get it. That's why. Now, the 49ers have remedied this by getting 11 draft picks, most of the NFL using all 11. And you have 11 draft picks next year as well. So that's great, but it's going to take a while for that influx of youth to get on par to start to contribute at a normal level. Last year's draft class was huge because you got 4 contributors. You got 4 starters plus one with Isaac Garrido. Maybe we'll see. I'm not the biggest Garrido guy, but like, but like, okay, like he can play. So like, man, if that turns into 5, that's what's up. Now you have to do it again. And then you have to do it again. So you're creating your difficulty draft mode to legendary, my Halo fans, because you've got to hit 50% hit rates. Otherwise, even the positions that we said we had a lot of depth at, not a lot of depth at. If your rookies don't hit in the defensive tackle room, yikes. If your rookie doesn't hit in the corner room, yikes. If your rookie doesn't hit in the edge room, yikes. You see what I'm saying? Like, linebacker, you can make a. If Nick Martin didn't pan out, which I love Nick Martin, I love all these rookies, right? I've done all the work. They're up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. Go watch them play. But all of them aren't going to hit. All of them aren't going to hit. And even if you discount the later picks, the seventh rounders and the fifth rounder, right? Like, let's say those don't hit. Then you have to hit on your first, your second, both your thirds, and some of your fourths. That doesn't typically happen. It doesn't. So, man, I'm hoping. I'm hoping we can get there. I really, really am. And if we do, let's roll, baby. Let's roll. Now, real quick, if you haven't done this yet, I need you to do this.
If you haven't already, go ahead and click that subscribe button. And right next to that subscribe button is the bell. Once you click on that, click all. That way, anytime we go live, you will get notified and you will be able to enter into all of the giveaways that we do for Countdown Crew. And to be honest with you, it is by far the best way to support our channel. Thank you.
All right. Sorry, I just had to take a quick drink of coffee and blow my nose real quick. So let's get into some nostalgia, baby. If y'all are here still, let's do this. Best to ever wear jersey number 41. Now, we've done 1 through 40 in the past off seasons. So we're picking up at number 41. I wonder who's going to be number 42. Spoiler alert, right? We've got a lot of names. We've got some old hats, some new hats. Jalen Graham is currently the 49er. Wearing jersey number 41. And a lot of players wore 41 to only switch later. Jeff Wilson wore it for 18 season only. Ambry Thomas wore it for 21 season only. Jordan Mason wore it for 22 season only. And again, the way that we grade this, it's what you do in the jersey. So like, right when we get to Debo 1 or 19, what did you do when you wore that jersey? Which is arbitrary, but it's the only way I know how to do it. Otherwise, we're going to have Debo winning or certain players winning multiple numbers, which I don't want. Some of the older hats, Dave Whitmore, defensive back in the 80s. He only had about 12 starts. Emmanuel Mosley, which, you know, he wore the jersey 41 from 18 to 20, so for 3 seasons. But whenever he became a starter, he changed it to number 4. I love Emmanuel Mosley. I mean, undrafted free agent to start in the Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? Just could never stay healthy. Love that he got paid by Detroit. Started 33 games for the 49ers, but only 17 of his starts were in jersey number 41. So he's not going to be in contention. Terry Kirby, baby. Yes, Terry Kirby. One of the... I don't want to say like purist, but like he was the third down scat back, like the original receiving third down back returner guy. That's what he was. 1996 to 98. The 49ers traded a 4th round pick to Miami for him. He was a 3rd round pick for Miami, had 3 great years. We traded for him, came over, no Pro Bowls, no all pros with us, and only started 13 games because again, he was the third down guy. But, man, he played in 29 games for us, 6 playoff games, had 3 touchdowns in those 6 playoff games. One of the better receiving backs in the NFL. Ended up having 91 receptions for 852 yards for us. Had a kickoff return touchdown. Had a punt return touchdown. Terry Kirby was awesome. He was a very, very fun player. But he does not win. He comes in number 3 for us. Number 2, we're going old school. In fact, World War II veteran old school. John Woodenberg, offensive tackle. He was with the 49ers from 1946 to 49, way before my time, obviously. But I had a blast researching him. And, you know, with Memorial Day and all that kind of stuff right there, like, man, this was pretty cool. So, he plays for the Steelers for 3 years and then left the NFL to go fight in World War II. Like, oh, what a freaking beast. He was an officer in the Navy. And then after the war was over, came back and signed with the 49ers. Played with the 49ers for 3 years as an offensive tackle. Had 54 starts, no Pro Bowls, or all pros. Solid starter. The 49ers were not good at that time. No playoff games or anything like that. And then after he played for the 49ers, he became mayor of Scottsdale, did a whole bunch of stuff in the community, did some car dealerships. He's passed on now. But John Woodenberg, I mean, 54 starts at left tackle. I freaking love it. Love it. He comes in number two, and I love it. You guys are smart. Number one, Anton Bethea. Love this dude. He kind of went through the worst part of 49ers history. He was there the last year of Harbaugh, first year of Tom Sula, first year of Chip Kelly, then demanded to be released, not demanded, requested. The 49ers gave him permission. I mean, that was just dumpster fire. But he was one of the players that was a solid starter consistently during very dark times. Anton Bethea from 2014 to 2016, those 3 years. He had one Pro Bowl with us, no all pros. He was a starting safety. Started 39 games for the 49ers as strong safety. No playoff appearances. Those were the terrible dark years. Had five picks, 15 pass breakups, two forced fumbles, two sacks, 240 tackles, nine tackle for losses. Iron Man. Listen to this was my favorite thing that in such a bad period of time, history for the 49ers, he played in 2014, 99% of defensive snaps. The next year, 91% defensive snaps. And then 2016, 98% defensive snaps. Dude, he was out there. Like, you got turmoil, coaching changes, drama, Jed York. Ah, gross. Anton Bethea was consistent and was out there all of the freaking time. Just such a solid player. I really, really... Yeah, shout out to Anton Bethea, who I say is the best to ever wear number 41 for the 49ers. Only 3 years. He has an 18 AV score. Terry Kirby actually had a higher AV score, according to Pro Football Focus. That's approximated value. He had a 19, which is the most. But a lot of that was because of the playoff appearances and stuff. But, like, he didn't really even start. He was a rotational scat back guy. Anton Bethea, like... And again, if you disagree with this, that's okay. And I'm not willing to go to blows over this. But for me, the best to ever wear number 41, Anton Bethea, it's so fun, like pausing and getting out of 2025 and really even out of the Shanahan experience, right? Which it's been very positive. Still no Super Bowls, but hey, whatever. We'll get there. But you look back and it's like, man, you know, I'm diving through 2015 and 2016 49ers tape and watching, like, yeah, looking through, you know, schedule results and box scores. And I'm just like, oh, I remember this. It's gross. It's sick. But they was one of the lone bright spots. And I think that's important to remember, because when we look back and you realize where you came from, it makes where you are now much more hospitable is maybe the right word, because we do not have it bad, to say the least. Like, it's not great. And last year sucked, but man, out here, I want to make sure I get this right. Listen to this stretch here. Oh my God, it's so gross. I'm so sorry, guys. You go 8-8 in 2014, Harbaugh's last year. Then you go 5-11, then 2-14. Do you remember how bad things were in 2016? That was the year before Shanahan, right? And so you go 2-14, 6-10, 4-12, 13-3, 6-10, 10-7, 13-4, 12-5, 6-11. You've got some down years, no doubt about it, in that Shanahan era. But man, there was no hope. There was no hope in 2016. There was none. I remember flying out for the Cowboys game that year. Oh, man. And it was, we lost 17-24. Fans were booing. Wouldn't change quarterbacks. You had Blaine Gabbert out there, who was just one of my least favorite players ever for the 49ers. I hate Blaine Gabbert. Like, it just sucked. It just sucked. And like, yeah, Chip Kelly is definitely in my worst coaches of all time for the 49ers. He's not my worst coach because he didn't have much to work with, but like, oh, dude, such a terrible person, such a terrible personality, such a terrible, just terrible, so much terrible. Now he's offensive coordinator of the Raiders. It's what it is. But man, now we have hope. Right there. Isn't that when the fans chartered a plane to fly? Yeah, it was. I was at that game. We flew out for that one. I remember. Yeah, Jim Tom Sula was bad too. Going from Tom Sula to Chip Kelly when you had Vic Fangio on the freaking roster. You chose those two? Anyway. All right. Times are better now. So the look back at nostalgia, you don't want to dig into the mud too much. Otherwise, you're going to come out dirty. But, shout out to Anton Pathé. And thank you, John Woodenberg, for your service to the 49ers and to the country. That's incredible. Terry Kirby, that puts a smile on my face. Emmanuel Mosley. I don't know if we're going to get – 41's not a cool number. Maybe Jalen Graham becomes, you know, the next one that is in this conversation, but – probably not. I don't think 41 we're going to get any new entries anytime soon. Anyway, this has been fun. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Look at that. We went past an hour in the off season. That's what's up. And I still have more notes. I'm just going to push them to next show, which is awesome. So I do have a couple announcements. Tuesday doing the John and Wayne show. Wednesday, I'm excited about this. Going to be doing a show with Damon Bruce. Haven't done a show with him before, but we've been chatting, so we're going to do a show there. Then I'm going to go out of town for the weekend, but we're going to have our countdown, starting with our 90-man countdown. Those are going to be released over the weekend and Monday, Tuesday, so we're going to leave you guys with some content, even though we're out. So if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, that's probably the best way. Just type in 49ers Rush, and that's going to do it for us today. You guys are incredible. Appreciate you being with us, and man, football cannot get here soon enough. But we will be here in the meantime, making sure you have 49ers content. Until then, stay strong, faithful.
For over 100 years, Jones Topsoil has been part of your community, delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. Slinger Jones, bringing it home to you. Whether you're planting a vibrant flower bed, growing your own vegetables, or giving your lawn a fresh start, be the envy of the neighborhood with topsoil and mulch from Slinger Jones. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.